The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team today. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cakes Auville and Eric Bickle this morning. Bish Bucks returns December 2nd after a nice elongated vacation. He maximizes the Thanksgiving days off. As EB says, most calculated person he knows.
Mm-hmm.
So some people were asking where Jason was. He'll be back December 2nd.
Good for him.
Joining us right now, as he does every Friday at this time, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist, John Feinstein. He's brought to you by Galtham, where you can now custom fit. They can custom fit you for new GT metals from Titleist. They've got new Apex irons from Callaway. You can visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis to get your game ready for fall golf. Galtham by Worldwide Golf. Get there. Hey, John.
Morning, fellas. How's everybody doing?
So, John,
doing
you know, you got the new book about the Ivy League, the Ancient Eight. People can go to bookstores and get it. I'm just wondering, in your career, did you ever cover high school sports?
I did, as a matter of fact. When my internship ended at the Post, I was offered a job at the Winston-Salem Journal. George Solomon, and who was the sports editor, Len Downey, who was the Metro editor, told me I should stick around because there might be an opening in Metro. But for about 6 weeks, I was sort of in limbo, and I covered high school football during that period.
So we were just, I don't know how much you follow this, we were just talking about this Hayfield High School controversy, which is big here in Northern Virginia, where the coach from Freedom High School moved over to Hayfield. All these players transferred to Hayfield. They're smashing people. You know, what was the score again last 75-7 in the playoffs.
And a good team.
Everybody's up in arms. I was just curious if you had a take on that.
Well, you know, the transfer rules at all levels have changed sports at all levels. And the fact is, I'm guessing here, that Freedom hasn't broken any rules, that the kids were allowed to transfer. If they're good, probably they all have agents at this point, because the fabulous Condoleezza Rice Commission recommended several years ago that agents be allowed to have open contact with high school and college athletes. So I don't look at it so much, which I think is terrible. It's, you know, letting the fox into the hen house. I don't look at it so much as this individual issue. Or individual case, although I'm sure next week's opponent for Freedom does.
It's Hayfield. He's at Hayfield now.
Hayfield. I'm sorry. I apologize. As so much the trend in sports, high school, college, you know, You have kids on the cover of Sports Illustrated who are 12 years old because they're the best seventh grader in the country, according to SI. So this isn't brand new. I'm sure this is not a unique situation. There was a story this week about a D1 team. I don't even know who it was, but they played a Bible college and won by 100.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that game being played? You know, who came up with that idea? Mm-hmm. And we see it all the time when FBS schools pay FCS schools a lot of money. Howard players have gotten the hell beaten out of them playing FBS schools for years now in football. It's different in basketball because you don't get beaten up so much, but it does go on in basketball. And one of the reasons I wanted to do the Ivy League book was because the kids are all on the same level.
Mm-hmm.
They play the same seven league teams every year. The Saturday before Thanksgiving, which is tomorrow, they all play their last game. Yale plays Harvard tomorrow in the game, and Harvard has a chance to win the league outright if they win that game. Dartmouth and Columbia are tied for second. Dartmouth is an amazing story that came about during the book because of the death of Buddy Tevens, their longtime coach. But I like the Ivy League sort of a throwback. There are very few transfers. When Princeton's quarterback last year was a transfer, he was the first transfer they'd had in football since 1988 when Jason Garrett transferred from Columbia to Princeton. There are no NILs. The kids play for not even for a scholarship because technically their scholarships are financial aid scholarships. So it's unique in today's world. The Ancient Eight will still be the Ancient Eight in 20, 30, 40 years. They won't be realign and have 10 teams or 12 or 7 or whatever. And I liked kind of that old-fashioned atmosphere that I encountered when I did the book. And the kids were terrific. Big surprise, smart Ivy League kids. I interviewed 82 of them, and I swear to God, guys, all 82 interviews were good interviews because of the kids, not because of me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, John, let's shift over to the biggest story right now in D.C., and that's the Washington Capitals, what happened to Alex Ovechkin out in Utah a few days ago. I'm assuming you were surprised as everybody to see Ovi down on the ice, struggling to get to the dressing room. He came back and tried to test it and then left for the rest of the game. He'll be gone for 4 to 6 weeks with a broken fibula. How can the Caps kind of manage their way through this until Ovi gets back?
Well, that's what they have to do. I mean, one of the greatest things about Ovechkin has been his ability to stay healthy throughout his career. He's been around forever. And what I think before this injury, he'd missed a total of 34 games or something like that.
Yeah.
And so it's a shock to the system to see him down and to realize he's not going to be back for 4 to 6 weeks. Now, the good news, quote unquote, is that it's early enough in the season that he should have plenty of time to come back. And I wish people would stop talking about the damn record. Just talk about him as a great player. He's going to get the record, Gretzky's goal-scoring record. He's not going to be Gretzky. Nobody is. But talk about the fact that this team had the best record in hockey before he went down. And really all they need to do over this time that he's gone is just be decent, hang in there. If you, when he comes back, if they're fourth or fifth in the Eastern Conference or sixth, whatever, that's fine. As long as they're still in position to right themselves once he's back and make the playoffs, and if you get a first-round home ice advantage, that's all great. But I hate hearing every time he scores a goal that he's now X number behind Gretzky. Just talk about the fact that he's 38 years old and he was off to the best start of his life. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And appreciate him as a great player, not just for the record. I understand the last couple of years there was a lot of focus in the local media on the record because he wasn't that good. The team wasn't that good. But the team's good this year. So people should focus when he comes back on how good this team could possibly be. I honestly think if he comes back 100%, they could challenge for the Stanley Cup. I'm not saying they win it, but they could have a chance. They're a damn good team with a damn good coach.
Hey, John, let's go easy on attacking the goal tracker. That's a sponsored segment here on 106.7 The Fan. We're not trying to kill the golden goose.
I once said something about U.S. Air on a Navy broadcast, and U.S. Air was a sponsor.
Oh,
this is not my worst.
Did that sink that sponsorship, assuming?
Did you take out the airlines? Does U.S. Air exist?
They didn't withdraw their sponsorship, amazingly. I was asked to apologize. I refused to apologize because that's me, because what I said was true about how bad it was to fly on U.S. Air. This is 20 years ago, by the way.
Yeah, of course.
So I have no idea, because you guys know I don't fly anymore, what U.S. Air is like today. But the Navy people were pissed at me, and justifiably. I should have kept my mouth shut.
Does U.S. Air exist now?
No. I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
It's been gone forever.
You guys know I don't fly anymore.
Yeah, no, that's done.
All right, John, what is your take? It's a big game. I guess it doesn't feel like sort of the old, you know, Cowboys skins matchup of years past.
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, the Cowboys aren't up to snuff, but it's still a division rival. They still have Micah Parsons. They still have CeeDee Lamb. You saw what happened last night with the Browns upsetting the Steelers.
Yep.
Jaden, you know, kind of coming off a little two-game swoon where he hasn't been particularly, sharp. How do you expect this one to go? They're big favorites.
I think the Commanders will kill them. I think the Cowboys are about as dead as any team in football. I was shocked last night by the Browns beating the Steelers. Of course, it was in the snow. But you watch the Cowboys, and which, you know, they're always in featured games, so you don't have much choice. And it's, you know, usually 21-0 by the end of the first quarter. The only advantage the Cowboys have this week is they're not playing at home because they're so horrible at home.
Yeah.
The Commanders need a win. They've lost two in a row. They won't overlook the Cowboys. They'll come in ready to play. And I think they'll just kick their butts all over the stadium.
That would be freaking perfect.
And you guys know it. I'm not like a Commanders fan or anything, so I'm not saying that through any bias. I'm just saying that through watching the Cowboys.
Right. Do you think style points mean anything? So you're thinking they're going to win convincingly. What if they win a low-scoring game, which will surprise people, win by a point? Is that troublesome?
I'm a Dean Smith guy. And Dean used to always say, if we win by 1 point, I'm happy. There are no style points, especially in the NFL. It's not like it's college ball where maybe you're trying to get the attention of the committee for seeding or to get into the tournament. If they're 8-4, they're 8-4. If they're 7-5, that's a problem. But if they're 8-4, no matter how they get to 8-4, I mean, do you feel badly about the way they beat the Bears?
No, not at all. I feel good.
It was a miracle win.
Feel great.
It was a win.
If they get to 8-4, John, it'll be the first time they've been 8-4 in 28 years.
It's sort of coincidentally dates back to when Snyder took over the team.
Yeah, that's correct.
I'm sure that's pure coincidence. Yeah. Dan never did anything wrong. Just ask him.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing, though. It's just amazing.
It's a hell of a turnaround. In a sense, they got lucky that they were so bad at the end of last season. They should thank Ron Rivera because that got them up to the number two pick in the draft.
Right.
And they ended up with a guy who I think is going to be a star in this league for 10 to 15 years. I really do.
I happen to agree. To a different extent and maybe for different reasons, but is Woody Johnson kind of the Dan Snyder? You're a Jets guy, right? Is he what's holding the Jets back?
Oh, I think he's been a terrible owner.
Yeah.
He's been a terrible owner. The fact that he apparently was trying to suggest benching Aaron Rodgers earlier in the season, you know, that's Dan Snyder type thing. I'm going to tell you what to do because I know a lot about football. And Woody Johnson doesn't know anything about football. And it's been reflected in his hires and in the way the team has been run. And in the total disaster that the Jets have become, that's what Snyder did. He turned the one of the best franchises in football into a complete and utter disaster and embarrassment.
Mm-hmm. Just a
and
fact
one
check.
Of, one of the things I feel good about, because obviously I have a lot of friends who are fans of the Commanders, is how much they're enjoying the success the team's having.
Mm-hmm. Just a fact check. Snyder never had a team that started off 8-4 because he took over in 99. EB's going dating back to 96.
I was saying it dates back to the end of 8-4s dates back to when he took over the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when we started doing weekend radio. Imagine the odds. We start doing a weekend radio show on WJFK on the new sports weekend. They just got the rights to the Washington Redskins at the time. And then just an utter lack of success during our entire
career.
For a
team that went to four Super Bowls in the 15 previous years.
Maybe we're a jinx. I don't know.
Maybe it's you guys.
And maybe it is.
It could be.
But the thing about Snyder was he was consistent. He always did everything wrong.
Right. Well, what is it about, like, Woody Johnson, my just assumption of him, and this is probably terrible, I know nothing about him, is that he just sort of inherited this wealth, has very little accomplishments in life.
He's born on third base.
I mean, God bless him.
Exactly.
Right.
That's exactly right. He's born on third base, thought he tripled.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are a lot of owners in sports like that. Let's make that point. He's not the only one by any means. Snyder, you got to admit, made his own money. Although I still don't. Nobody I know knows how it happened.
Right. I'm not sure it was ethically.
Made his own money.
I mean, you can be a bad owner and make your own money. Just look at David Tepper in Carolina. Like, there's, you know.
But it's Woody Johnson. Here's the thing. I think most people thought at the end of the day that Dan kind of really came off as a bad guy in a lot of different ways. Yeah. Right. All the allegations. All
definitely.
The stuff. Does Woody Johnson have like bad guy mojo around him too?
Not like that, but yes. Yeah. He's kind of known as a guy who, again, thinks because he was born on third base and he tripled that he's better than people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the thing with Dan. Dan wasn't born on third base, but he thought he was better than people because he was rich.
Right. So Woody Johnson,
that's why he always wanted people to call him Mr. Snyder.
Like, he's an elitist. You think Woody Johnson's an elitist?
An elitist. Okay. Yes. And I'm hoping, as a Jets fan, that Trump makes him an ambassador again somewhere.
Ship him out somewhere.
Yeah, and say, by the way, Woody, we want you to sell the team while you're being an ambassador.
I would never call Dan Snyder Mr. unless he were to pay me $5 million each per year for us to do this radio show. Then I would call him Mr. Snyder.
Call him whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Call him Daddy.
I have my price, John.
Well, every man has his price, I guess.
Yeah.
And I certainly have mine. You know, it's like when David Faraday went to LIV while I was writing the book on him. And I said to him, so I have to rewrite the last two chapters of this book so you can make an extra million or two.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it's more than a million or two.
Right.
Yeah.
It was a lot more than a million or two. And finally I said to him, could you just give me $1 million?
Yeah, right.
He said, no.
John, this is not like personally, but like sort of professionally, what's the most shameful thing that you've done for money? Do you have anything?
I've been pretty good about that, I think. There's nothing I've actually done that I'm embarrassed by. I did a book on Rocco Mediate because I thought he was a good guy and turned out I was wrong.
Is he a bad guy?
He was a bad guy.
What's his deal?
He was a guy who would he committed to playing in my charity golf tournament 3 straight years. And every year he canceled out at the last minute, didn't call me himself, had his agent call me. And while I was doing the book, I heard a lot of stories about the way Rocco treated people at times. Not all the time, but at times. I mean, he was good to me most of the time. But I, when people say, is there any book you've done that you regret, that's the one.
Mm. Interesting.
And it sold well, by the way. It was a bestseller.
Because Rocco's so popular publicly. Like, I follow him on Instagram. He's a fun follow.
He has
you know,
great
all that.
Personality in public.
Yeah.
I was fooled by that. Because he came to me after he lost the U.S. Open playoff to Tiger Woods, which is one of the most dramatic golf events we've seen in years. And he said, excuse me, that people were asking him about doing a book and he wanted to do it with me. Well, I liked Rocco. We were friends. We got along. And so I said, yes. But my one condition was you don't try to edit the book. And he was dating a woman at the time. He left his wife and kids. He was dating a woman and she tried to edit the book and it didn't work out terribly well. I didn't like the book.
Gotcha.
All right, John, your latest book is The Ancient Eight. People can get it at bookstores and everywhere the books are sold, right?
I love that segue. Yes. The Ancient Eight. And also, I'll just throw this in. The Wall Street Journal did a review on my book on Duke's Dynasty, Five Banners, which came out a month ago, and it was a rave. I did not expect that from the Wall Street Journal, to be honest.
Very good. That's
very
excellent.
Cool.
Yeah. Doing well.
All right, John. Appreciate it. Talk
hey
to you
guys,
next week.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yep. Yep, you too, man.
Happy
have a great one.
Yep.
It's John Feinstein, brought to you by Golfdom, where they can custom fit you for any clubs, including the new GT Metals from Titleist and the new Apex Irons from Callaway. Visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis to get your game ready for fall golf. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. Coming up next, we'll open up EB's entertainment page here on the John.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chunkies. Welcome back. Chunkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. We'll do our touchdown parlay coming up at 8:45. We had scheduled for 7:45, but people all fired up about Hayfield High School.
Mm-hmm. Wanted to talk about it.
Right now, time for the entertainment page, driven by BMW Fairfax.
That's right. BMW Fairfax is DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner for the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine. Get over to BMW Fairfax. Ask for my girl Miriam. She's the new GM. Or, of course, you could check them out at BMWFairfax.com. They've got all kinds of military benefits. You'd be shocked whether or not you'd be eligible for one. It's just a great vehicle, no matter which one you get. They're just different. That's all I can say. Mention me when you get there. All right. Denzel has gone public. This is kind of interesting. So we did a story about him a few weeks ago where he kind of talked about how he's really going to limit his roles, right, as he winds down his career here.
Yep. Is Gladiator 2 out today?
I believe it is out today. Is today the 19th?
I think it is.
No, it's the 22nd. It's out. Yeah.
And I guess they're expecting, right, huge numbers, by the way, just since you mentioned that, because as Wicked... Wicked
is out.
Gladiator 2.
Mm-hmm. Big weekend at the box office.
Could be a big weekend. They're comparing it to Barbenheimer cakes.
Mm-hmm.
So is that when Barbie and Oppenheimer came out?
It is, yes.
All right. I saw neither of those.
I've seen both.
Everyone said that Oppenheimer was really good. Like everybody I talked to.
It was really good.
Really long.
I think seeing it once is plenty. That maniac Kevin McCarthy's seen it like a dozen times.
Is that like, is the Oppenheimer on Netflix or you got to do like pay-per-view for that?
I don't know. Not sure.
Netflix is so overrated. But Denzel, who is one of the stars of Gladiator 2 and who has opened up about being sober for 10 years now, how'd he do that?
He wasn't sober in Flight. I know that.
He wasn't?
He was not. He played a drunk pilot.
You think
that was the role.
You think he was drunk while he was acting?
No, I'm just saying that in that role, he was definitely a guy who was guzzling, I think, screwdrivers and then getting behind the controls of a 747.
That's an old school drink. I used to drink screwdrivers when I was younger because I didn't know anything. I just said, give me a screwdriver.
I've had them before, but it does seem like, I mean, could you order like an older man sounding drink than a screwdriver?
It's just
or like a Harvey Wallbanger.
What's in a Harvey Wallbanger?
I'd have to look it up, but it just sounds like an old guy drink.
Right. But apparently he's now talking about his past drinking problem, where he actually, I guess his drink of choice really was wine.
Okay.
Wine was my thing.
He's a wino.
I was popping $4,000 bottles.
Ooh.
He said he had a 10,000 bottle wine cellar,
man,
in his house.
That is extensive. And expensive, I'm sure.
He said, I had this idea of wine tastings, and he would have all these people to kind of cover for it. And then he just realized all the damage that he's done to his body.
Mm-hmm.
My mother actually was giving me a hard time yesterday.
Oh, she was?
You talk about all this drinking. You know it's so bad for you. She also was very anti-titillating Thursday.
Oh, she was?
She does not like that idea, Valdez. I had a long conversation with her. My mom, very much against titillating Thursday.
Did you think she would be a fan of that
idea? I said, Mom, it's not going to be, you know, it's just going to be like girls like doing yoga or
something. I didn't do my homework.
It's not straight porno.
Yeah, it's just like girls on like a, you know, a horse or something.
It's just like getting up to the edge.
I did find a video of someone cracking the back of this
like
buxom blonde.
Buxom. Oh, yeah. That's a good word.
That's the big move that these online chiropractors do. They just get hot chicks, scantily clad.
That's their move.
Or very, very, very tight clothing.
Yeah.
And
that's the formula.
Yes.
Yeah. So to break
the
algorithm
all over the girls and yeah. crack their backs.
No. The one I saw is it was so like you know how you like you kind of lift a person up to like release the spine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he was lifting her up, and she had this low cut blouse, and mm-hmm. it was just
the
jiggles.
Yeah, Mrs. Bickle, not a fan.
Yeah. Well, Valdez and I were actually discussing titillating Thursday yesterday after the show.
Yeah.
And we would like to do at least one segment of it. Where each of us come up with a video that we find on YouTube, G-rated or whatever, PG.
We can't do it next Thursday because that's Thanksgiving.
All right, the following week.
Thursday we can do it.
But it's not like, you can't just like Google thong or something.
Yeah.
It's not like a bikini model.
You got to do some real research
here. They have to be doing like sort of mundane things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like cooking.
Right.
Or, you know, bouncing on a trampoline.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Got it. I understand. Yeah, I understand the assignment.
That's the bit.
Mm. Okay.
And then we will have a contest to see who has the most titillating video.
Got it. Getting back to the Harvey Wallbanger, it sounds almost exactly like a screwdriver.
What is it?
1.5 ounces of vodka, 4 ounces of orange juice, 1/2 ounce of, I don't know what this is, Galliano L'Autentico liqueur.
All right.
Orange slice liqueur. And a maraschino cherry for garnish.
Yeah, it's not that different.
It's pretty much a screwdriver. One and the same.
Do you think I could? I don't know if I would be embarrassed if I went to the bartender and said, "Can I have a Harvey Wallbanger?"
I think you should do it. Next time you're at Norback,
next time at the club, say,
yes.
"Kristen, can you
put
make
it on
me
your tab.
A Harvey Wallbanger?"
Yeah. Put it on the tab that is B, and then there's a number after it.
Yes.
I don't know what your number is.
I'm not telling you.
I know you wouldn't, because then I'd run up a huge bill on your tab.
The bill is too big already. Kai Cenat. Do you know who that is, Cakes?
I think he's a streamer and like an influencer. And,
yes.
And here's what I do know about him. I have no interest in what he's streaming or influencing.
Well, I don't know if he still does this, but he used to just do these crazy live streams where, I don't know, he would have a circus would come in his apartment,
okay.
Or he would have all of a sudden like horses would show up.
Right.
He would just do bits.
Yeah, he'd do pranks.
Crazy. Well, not even, I guess pranks. But he found a Twitch streamer, Cakes.
Ben Cenat better. And he,
Ben Cenat,
he's
yeah, we'll
barely on the field.
Yeah.
I barely see him.
He's better than Kai Cenat.
I have more interest in him.
But he says he found a Twitch streamer who has been live 24 hours a day for the last 3 years.
Okay, so
can you imagine
24/7 live stream like
everywhere you go? That means when you're in your car, you're live streaming. When you go to the grocery, you're live streaming.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah,
sounds like too much.
That sounds like a little.
That sounds like too much content.
A little too desperate for attention. So remember that art that we've talked about that's been getting a lot of attention, so-called art. The banana that was like taped to a wall.
I do remember, yes. I saw the price tag that it went for yesterday.
All right.
I'm assuming that's what the story is.
Yes. It sold for $6.2 million. Okay. Meanwhile, that's not even the original banana. A bunch of people went in there and like ate the banana, stole the banana, smushed the banana. They had to replace the banana.
So it's like I could go to Harris Teeter and buy a banana and duct tape it to a wall.
Try it.
And call it art. And I could fetch $5 million for it?
It's so crazy.
No, but just because some, I guess, alleged artist did it, it has value. I mean, art is such a scam. That whole industry is a big, giant scam.
And the guy that bought it, shocker, is like Cakes, a crypto mogul.
Well,
okay.
See, now,
you're
first
a crypto
of all,
mogul.
I don't have near that amount of crypto. Second of all, even if I did, I wouldn't waste $6.2 million of it on a mealy banana.
The guy's name is H.E. Justin Sun, and he is the developer or founder of the cryptocurrency Tron. Okay.
I know nothing of Tron.
And he used his wealth.
It was a
video
game back in the day, though. I got sized.
He used his wealth from crypto to buy it for $6.2 million, and he said he's going to eat it.
Well, gross.
In the coming days, I will personally eat the banana.
That tells me he's stupid because he spent $6.2 million on something I can go to Giant and buy for 50 cents.
Yes.
He's dumb. I'm smart.
He says he's honoring its place in both art history and pop culture.
Okay.
He's going to eat it and then poop it out. That's what he should
just
do.
That's gross.
He should put that on the wall and tape it.
What that guy should do is send us his crypto. We will make it work better than buying worthless art.
Speaking of crypto, have you ever heard the term bro economy?
I have not.
So I read this article and it was talking about how the economy is transforming. That always happens with technology.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it was transforming to the bro economy, mm-hmm. which has three pillars.
Okay.
Crypto is one of the three yeah. pillars. Day trading is another one of the pillars. Inside.
Rom loves pillar number two.
And pillar number three, sports betting.
Oh,
a lot of people have just gotten into these things and it's driving the economy.
I got two of those three on lock.
I know sports betting drives this station.
Oh, yeah.
I think my son is involved in all three.
Yeah.
He's a bro.
Total epitome of a bro. And he's a lax bro.
He's an econo bro.
Yeah.
New econo bro. Good That's for wild. Him.
Drabby, why are you handing me? I have this Jason
this
Kelce
is hot
story.
The press. This is hot.
Brand, this is good. This is a brand new.
Is that the hot fire?
Yeah.
Well, go ahead. Is it? Are you giving me the one where we got in the confrontation outside the Jimmy Kimmel?
We have audio. I want you to set it up.
Oh, okay. All right. So I guess Jimmy Kimmel had Jason Kelce on the show. And, you know, he smashed a guy's cell phone a few weeks ago that mm-hmm. was, I can't remember what the deal
that was.
That
was
hounding him.
It was at Penn State.
Yeah.
And a guy that was filming him. And was calling his brother the F word, like, multiple times for dating Taylor Swift. It's weird. So then Jason Kelce turns around and confronts him, repeats the F word, and then grabs his cell phone.
And smashed it
into a billion pieces. And then he had to go on TV and apologize for reusing the slur.
Right.
Well, pretty fun.
Kelce had another incident, I guess, where he was outside after his filming appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live, and an autograph seeker, I guess, wanted an autograph.
Well, that guy's, whoever that is vermin, because I guarantee you it's an adult just trying to stir the pot. Vermin. That guy, I saw him outside of the building the other day, nibbling on something as I drove in, and it was a big rat. It was like this long. It was kind of scary.
So Valdez has the audio. Here's the confrontation, I guess.
You ain't nobody special. You're a bad guy that thinks he's on some pedestal. Don't be a I'm with it. My whole family. I don't care. The autograph. It's the attitude. There's death in these streets two blocks away and you're being a You couldn't put it to our name? May we please?
I have a habit. I'm not signing for people that follow where I'm going.
We're here at it. We're not following you. We get every guest that comes
public
here.
Information,
Morgan
Jason.
Freeman did it with a busted hand. That's 100 times bigger than your sorry ass.
You're
got a podcast
like
and
a
you think
like
you're a hot shot? You're nothing. You. You don't love nothing but money. I'll take you out anytime. And I'll be running the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Watch for me, you
What?
You.
What an entitled weird piece of garbage that guy is. I hope he's walking down a street and a grand piano falls out of a window and smushes him on the sidewalk.
What did Jason say his defense was? I don't sign autographs for people
that are following, stalking me where I am and everything.
Oh, like if he's walking.
But it was a group of guys waiting outside the studio.
The standard guys, they're waiting
to get signed.
Losers.
I wanted to be on against Jason Kelce, but I can't be.
No, you can't side with fully grown autograph seekers / harassers. They're some of the worst people on the planet.
He wasn't really a jerk there.
Who wasn't?
Jason Kelce.
No, he actually handled himself pretty well.
The other guy was a jerk.
I was guessing that he was going to act like a jerk.
No, he came over
smashed
and signed.
Another phone or something.
He came over and signed and shook the guy's hand, I think, eventually. But he may have been a jerk
before.
Yeah, the video's pretty wild.
That's wild. The guy assaults you verbally and you go over there and kiss his ass?
Yeah.
And then the loser says he's going to be running the MCU soon.
Wait, and what's that guy say? He's going to be running the Marvel Universe?
Yeah, he's clearly an insane person.
Oh, yeah.
God. Hey, but he got his autograph.
He wins.
And he got ADs.
That guy wins. Yeah.
All right, coming up next, it's time for our touchdown parlay here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here on a Football Friday. We'll get back into the Commanders as they face the Cowboys next with Scott Abraham from ABC7 coming up at 9 o'clock. But time right now for our weekly touchdown parlay.
Spin it. So are you playing the role of Jason here on the parlay?
Oh, sure.
I mean, he should. He's sitting in a seat, so he's got to be the proxy.
But I'll do the opposite. He always leaves cakes for last. Mm-hmm. Mr. Cakes, why don't you lead off?
I'm going to lead off with a guy with a pretty big number. He's coming in at plus 200 anytime touchdown. I'm going with Malik Nabers with the Giants coming out of the bye. Now, look, I understand he's got Tommy Cutlets throwing him the ball, and that guy gets sacked at a historic rate. But the Giants are going to be trailing in this game against the Bucs. I just feel like if they have any path to winning, they're going to have to get Nabers involved. I see him getting 8, 10, maybe more targets, and hopefully he breaks one for a long touchdown. I have Malik Nabers at plus 200 to find the end zone this week in that Giants-Bucks matchup. I'm actually rooting for one Tommy DeVito. Hopefully he does well.
All right, Tommy DeVito plus 200, the first leg of our touchdown parlay.
I might be going down with a ship. This is true.
Right. He's all in on DeVito.
I don't love it.
All right, I'm not sure what's going on behind the glass. Last week, a couple of them made picks. I don't know if it's Mike Marr making the pick.
Did Marr's pick hit, by the way? Is he still on a heater?
I think he missed one week.
No, man. He took the L.
He's, massive cold streak now.
Well, what, two in a row?
Yeah, two in a row. I wouldn't call it massive, but definitely some streak. Back of the line, Marr.
Oh, very nice.
All right, so you guys putting your heads together for one pick. You have
Valdez
multiple
and
picks.
I have one. No, Marr has one as well.
All right, good.
Valdez and I, we're on the same page. So we'll run with together. Go ahead, Matt.
We've been on this guy since day one. We love him. We love his skill set.
All right.
We thought he was the steal of the season, and he's finally getting his opportunity. None other than Raiders running back Dylan Laube.
He's going to be playing this week.
He's playing. He's getting the bulk of the snaps. Drab and I were first
Are
to discover
him up in the media because he's definitely going to be active.
Hold on.
He hasn't been active in
weeks.
Is
he listed?
Where are you seeing he's going to get the bulk of the snaps? Because I know
all over.
He's not going to get the bulk of the snaps.
I know that Madison and Zamir White are both banged up. Those guys are missing practices, which is good for your theory and your pick.
Bulk of the snaps.
But Amir Abdul is also in the mix there, too.
Yeah, but they're not going to give him the goal line touches.
Hmm.
We're going Dylan TD.
Man, if this one hits, it's going to be a big one.
What's the odds on him?
Plus 260. So right. Far, we have Malik Nabers at plus 200 and Dylan Laube at plus 260. This is going to be a mega payoff if it hits.
I also have a bit of a long shot.
All right.
So why don't I go next?
Do it.
Remember, we discovered Dylan.
Yeah. I don't know if you can call it a breakout, but he did have his highest catch total of the season last year. He's only 21 years old. He is a speed merchant. Xavier Worthy had four catches for 61 yards and a touchdown last week against the Buffalo Bills. The Chiefs have been trying to figure out what to do at wide receiver all season long, ever since Rice went down. I know they traded for DeAndre Hopkins. They play the Carolina Panthers this week.
Very good.
All these questions about Kansas City and how good they are winning all these last second games, I think they're going to absolutely smash the Carolina Panthers, score a ton of points, and Xavier Worthy finds the end zone for the fifth time this season. So even though he doesn't have a ton of catches, he's been in the end zone four times. He will get a touchdown.
So Xavier Worthy coming in at plus 230.
By the way, what was the number for Laube?
260.
That's all?
Plus 260.
Jesus Christ.
What do you mean that's all? Those are pretty long odds.
The guy's got like two carries. That's amazing. That should be like plus 1,000.
Rick, he's playing.
They don't put anybody at plus 1,000.
Any running back is going to be around that.
I kind of buy into the theory because the Raiders, they're in, hey, what do you got mode? Like, prove it. Like, what does this rookie have mode?
No, I know, but like Jeremy McNichols, who's done way more in the league, is plus 850.
Yeah, but you have healthy running backs ahead of him.
Yeah, he's RB3.
Okay, all right.
Lauby's just going to have more opportunities.
I love him. I just think that he should be...
Not as much as us.
He should be longer on.
We're scouting him when he was playing lacrosse.
You know, you guys were tip of the spear.
Yeah.
Right. All right. All right, whose turn?
I'll spin the wheel.
So, even before we get to the next picks, we're at plus 3464.
Nice.
Already.
This be a big one.
Let's go to Mike Marr behind the glass.
So I'm going to one of my favorite non-Skins players across the NFL, Jahmyr Gibbs, to score minus 150. Gibbs has 5 touchdowns in the last 5 games. Colts defense allowing 375 yards per game, ranks 28th in the NFL.
You don't like it because it's a minus 150?
It's a minus number.
Hey, we just need a reach the stars.
We know what he's doing.
Hold on. Does this actually hurt the thing?
No, it doesn't hurt.
Does it actually hurt?
No, but the wind was raging in our sail.
Yeah.
Until Mars minus 280
can
pick.
Can you do, like, in other words, like with 4 picks, you know, with all this, and then now 5 picks with his, is it much bigger?
Yeah.
Even though it's minus 150.
Yeah. Now it's 58 to 1.
We're just saying it's a little bit of a buzzkill. That's all.
Yeah, I think it's smart, though. We got to hit something.
No, he's not going to hit. It just shows he's got no confidence.
He's scared.
He's scared. He was taking a layup.
Like, he was taking Jalen Waddle plus 380. Now he's doing bunnies in the paint.
It's a little bit of a chicken pick, but I understand.
When you're at the back of the line, sometimes you got to start on the green slope again. You can't go right back to Black Diamond.
I hear you.
I'm just trying to get a little mojo. But yeah, Jahmyr Gibbs, one of the best dual threat, you know, pass catching running backs in the NFL right now. Lions offense is unstoppable. Let's get Gibbs in the end zone and let's hit this parlay.
All right,
that's
like it.
It's part of the deal.
All right, that leaves me, right?
Yes.
I think I'm the last chump here.
You're it.
Wait, is Dylan Lauby losing his hair for a young guy?
I don't know. I've never really looked at him before.
Team Bald. Look at that.
We welcome you. Oh, yeah. He's
22 or 23
That's
years
classic.
Old.
Classic. He start
might be 24.
Male pattern baldness.
He
say hello.
He might be older than you think.
Take a couple classes.
Yeah. I'm just going to go with the guy who, you know, was on a heater. At one point, he was being targeted 10, 8, 7, 6, 8, and then 2 targets last week. Terry McLaurin, he's due. They're making a point of emphasis to get the ball to Terry. They're giving up 28 points per game. I don't want to go with B-Rob because these guys will mock me. They'll play the sound effect. So I'll take Terry. It's actually plus, I think, 160.
Plus 160. All right, so here is our anytime touchdown parlay. Xavier Worthy, plus 230. Malik Nabers, plus 200. Dylan Lauby, plus 260. Jahmyr Gibbs, the only minus number on the board, minus 150. And Terry McLaurin is at plus 160. Pre-odds boost, $10, will net $1,534.40.
Nice.
That's going to be close to $2,000 when we put the boost on it.
Be sweet to collect that.
Oh, that'd be nice.
All right, got to take a break. Coming up next, Scott Abraham from ABC7 as we dive into Commanders versus Cowboys.